This is Dairy Radio Now with Bill Baker.
Ryan, we talked last month about heat stress and, you know, all the implications and factors involved in cooling the animal. What about the science behind heat stress?
Yeah, it's pretty neat. We know that heat stress affects the animal on the ground, okay? So there's a cow and she's in the lactating string. It gets hot. We know it affects her reproduction, her milk production, her overall health. The thing that's really interesting is there's been some new research that's come out in the last 3 to 5 years is that heat stress can actually be multi-generational. Okay, and that's crazy to think about, but we know it's a fact now. And so, for example, some research done at the University of Florida showed that dry cows that were under heat stress in the last trimester of their pregnancy would give birth to lower weight, less thrifty calves. But what was crazy was this research trial then tracked those calves. They had calves born to heat-stressed dry cows and calves born to cows that were in barns with a lot of cooling. They didn't just track these calves when they were young calves as health events. They actually tracked them over years when they got in the milking string and multiple lactations. And what they found was that the calves born to cows that were heat-stressed, although they had all the things when they were born, lower birth weights, higher morbidity, mortality, stuff like that, they also carried that problem with them all the way throughout their life. They had less overall milk production. They were more likely to be culled as older animals. And here's the crazy part. If that calf that was born to a heat stress dam never experienced one day of heat stress in her life, she still would give birth to statistically lower weight, less thrifty calves, and her calves would produce less milk. It's a process called epigenetics, and is the concept that the environment the mother experiences when she is pregnant will either activate or deactivate genes in that fetus, and those can actually be passed down generation to generation. So, for example, this was a study done in white-tailed deer, but nonetheless, it can apply. They found that does, white-tailed deer does that were pregnant during very, very harsh winters and often starved, would give birth to fawns that would, if they were females, they would be less reproductively active and they would make less milk when they were older. If they were males, they would have smaller birth weights, but they would also have smaller adult body weights. Their horns would be smaller. Mother Nature is telling the fetus one of two stories. If that pregnant animal is experiencing good conditions, abundant feed, it's not super hot, so on and so forth, the hormones will activate switches. Let's go back to calves here. It'll activate switches in the calves. And it'll say, hey, baby calf, you're going to be born into a super nice environment. There's a lot of feed around. It's not very hot. You should eat a lot of feed, grow really big, make a lot of milk, be super fertile, make a lot of calves. It's a wonderful environment out here. You should maximize everything. Conversely, if that fetus, if the pregnant cow experiences heat stress, the story that she will tell her calf in utero through hormone conversation is, hey, baby calf, it's super hot out here. It's not a really great environment. You shouldn't try to spend a lot of energy getting very big. You shouldn't spend a lot of energy making a lot of milk. Frankly, it's pretty rough out here. You probably shouldn't put a lot of energy towards reproduction. And it takes those switches for milk production, reproduction, health, body size, growth rates, all those. And if you think about them like light switches, it basically turns them off. And the problem is once they're turned off in utero, they never get turned back on again, no matter how great the environment is. Those switches have been turned off, and they're turned off forever. And they're turned off for future generations, which is hard to believe, hard to get your head wrapped around, but that's what the science shows. It's true, and it's actually pretty wild when you really think about it. Because this affects not only the pregnant dry cow, but her calf, and subsequent generations of calves, we're starting to see more and more farms take stuff like heat abatement and cow cooling in their dry pen much, much more seriously, not only because of that individual animal effect, but really the multi-generational effect. And so something that producers are doing more and more of is really starting to get focused on dry cow heat abatement, which historically on the farm have been a group of animals that have been less focused on when it comes to cooling.
Thank you for the time today, Ryan. Dr. Ryan Leiterman is Director of Technical Services with Crystal Creek.
If you have a question relating to calf health and housing, email Dr. Leiterman at askthevet@crystalcreeknatural.com.